Well, today marks the first Sunday in the month of June, which of course means just one thing: school is almost out, which is a celebration for many in here and a fear for many others. But I want to tell you about something cool our church has done. You might not realize it, but our church wrote over 700 thank you notes to teachers, administrators, janitors, people who work in our school system here in Moore County. Over 50 of you helped to write those thank you notes, simply to show your gratitude. And I have to say, our church has done many cool things here, but that is perhaps the most impressive. I think you know a church by its sense of gratitude, and I am deeply moved by the gratitude you showed. So thank you. Thank you for being part of that. We're going to come to our scripture this morning, the story of Pentecost, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, make us and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, if you were with us last Sunday, then perhaps you remember one of the final things Jesus said to his disciples before leaving them for the very last time is he told all of them to return to Jerusalem, and there they should wait for the gift. Those were his last words to his best friends. He told them to wait for the gift. Some of you know my sister works for the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Corporation up in Chevy Chase, Maryland. She told me once that every hotel should always make it a point to give a gift to its guests, something to memorialize their stay. She said, you know, we are in the business of making memories. And when you have a gift, you can't help but remember the good experience you have. You can't help but cling to all the good times. Wait for the gift. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Wait for the gift. But that, of course, begs the question, what was the gift Jesus wanted to give his disciples? I mean, he called it the Holy Spirit. We know that, but if you look at the scripture, you'll see Jesus didn't really explain what that meant. He didn't explain what it meant to receive the Holy Spirit. So what is the gift we celebrate on Pentecost? You know, maybe the gift is power. Power. Jesus said that the disciples would receive power, so maybe what he meant by that is that he was going to make them stronger than all of their enemies. Maybe that's the gift. Muhammad Ali once said he was strong enough he could hospitalize a brick. He could injure a stone, he said. Maybe Jesus wanted to give the disciples the same type of strength. Maybe he wanted to make them more powerful than everyone who would stand in God's way. All he would have to do was equip them with a couple F-22s or C-17s, and then we'll see how Pontius Pilate likes them apples. So is that the gift? Is the gift strength, more power for the disciples so that they could accomplish God's work in the world without any resistance at all? Well, no, that's not the gift. After all, even after Easter Sunday, the disciples were still a bunch of poor fishermen. Even after Easter Sunday, Rome was still the most powerful nation in the world, and Caesar Augustus was still in charge. Jesus didn't make his disciples any stronger on Pentecost, so what was the gift he wanted to give them? Well, you know, if it wasn't power, maybe the gift, of course, was pleasure. You know, Jesus and his disciples had worked hard over the 3 years of ministry they had been together, so maybe the gift Jesus wanted to give his disciples was just a time to relax, a time to step back, a time to exhale and breathe. If anyone deserved a break, it was these men. Maybe the gift was pleasure. The actress Brooke Shields once said, her greatest joy in life is to go to a Korean spa and get pummeled and scrubbed so hard she can't stand up afterwards. And maybe that's it. peace, rest, tranquility. Who wouldn't want that kind of gift? Maybe Jesus is going to invite his disciples to spend time in the hot springs, to do a little wine tasting in the vineyards. After all, they deserve the break. So is that the gift he wants to give them? Relaxation? Tranquility? Well, that would be nice. But no, that's not the gift either. The Apostle Paul said during his years of ministry, he was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned 3 times. He was shipwrecked and spent a night in the open sea. Peter and Silas were thrown into prisons for crimes they did not commit. Even after Jesus had been risen from the dead, we're told things did not always go smoothly for the disciples, and there was little pleasure to be had. So that can't be the gift. So what is the gift he wants to give them? Not power, not pleasure. Maybe it's, maybe it's protection. Growing up, my mom said her number one goal as a parent was simply to keep me alive. Maybe that's the gift Jesus wants to give his disciples, to give them the exact same promise. I mean, sure, things weren't always going to be perfect for his disciples, but maybe he's going to promise them that nothing ever really, really bad would happen to them. Maybe Jesus is going to give them a guardian angel or a golden parachute. Is that the gift? Sadly, no. Jesus could promise his disciples many things, but he never promised them that they would always be safe. Stephen was stoned to death. James was martyred. Peter was crucified upside down. In fact, 11 of the 12 disciples were killed. And why? For sharing God's love with the world. Jesus promised his disciples many things, but protection was never one of them. Wait for the gift, Jesus said to his disciples, but what was that gift of Pentecost? And so when the disciples had gathered together in one place, suddenly, the sound of a rushing wind came and filled the entire house where they were staying, and tongues as of fire rested on their heads. And the scripture says each of the disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's the gift. That's the gift given to the disciples on Pentecost. It was not the gift of power or pleasure or protection. No, the gift God gave to the disciples on that day was a gift far more valuable, a gift more valuable than silver or gold. The gift was this. It was a gift of presence, God's divine presence with them. It was the promise Jesus made to his disciples that no matter what adversity they faced in their life, no matter what challenges would come their way, that God would be with them. Parthians and Medes, he said, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, the gift was for everyone. The promise was for everyone. You will never be alone, Jesus says. No matter what you face, you will never be alone. So wait for the gift. When Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was writing her famous book on death and dying many years ago, she was doing research in the hospital looking at different patients who were facing terminal diagnosis. And she spent time talking with each of the patients, trying to figure out how they were handling the stress of such knowledge. And she would go from hospital room to hospital room, when one day she noticed a remarkable pattern. During her research, she said she would go to one room after the next, and she would notice that some of her patients would be strangely calm, strangely at peace. Their breathing would be easier. They were far more content with their surroundings. Now, the reason this was so odd to Dr. Ross, she said, was because just the day before, 24 hours before, she had been in the same room, and the patient had been a mess. They had been emotional about everything. They had been overwhelmed with anxiety and uncertainty. But then 24 hours later, they were like a different person. Now, what was going on? Well, Kubler-Ross said she discovered the answer to this riddle. One day when she began to notice that the change in her patient's behavior often came right after the patient's room had been cleaned by a certain orderly who worked at the hospital. A patient would be feeling anxious or nervous, then this janitor would come in and clean the room, and by the time the janitor left, the patient would be entirely different. Kubler-Ross said she confronted the janitor, simply asking the question, "What are you doing with my patients when you clean their room?" The janitor thought she was being reprimanded. She said, "I'm not doing anything with them, I promise. I'm not doing anything at all." "No, no, it's a good thing," Kubler-Ross said. "It's a good thing. They're much more at peace. So what are you saying to them? What are you doing in their room?" The woman said, "I'm talking with them." She said, "I'm cleaning their room, but I'm talking with them as well." She said, "You know, I've actually had two of my own children die in my own lap, and I let them know that even during that time, God never abandoned me. And so I tell them that. I need to tell them that. I tell them that they aren't alone. I tell them that God is with them and that they don't have to be afraid. I feel like I need them to know that. They don't have to be afraid." Yes, that's the gift of Pentecost. That's the gift of this day that we celebrate. "Wait for the gift," Jesus said to the disciples. "Wait for the gift." Because no matter where you are in your life, no matter what challenges or hardships or diagnosis come your way, you are not alone. "I tell them they don't have to be afraid," she said. "I tell them there's nothing to fear." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.